podcast called Living the Stream comes to you each week. Streaming recommendations during NFL season, it's not just tongue-in-cheek. Quarterback and best tight end recommendations based on opposition matchup. Here are your podcast hosts, J.J. Zacharyson and Danny Carter, Living the Stream.
Welcome, ladies and gentlemen, to another episode of Living the Stream. I'm J.J. Zacharyson, the late-round quarterback, and as always, I'm joined by my lovely, lovely, lovely co-host, Denny Carter. Denny, what's going on, buddy?
Not much. I am celebrating Alex Smith as, I believe, the QB2 in yes. fantasy football. That's something that we need to acknowledge.
Alex Smith right now is the MVP of the NFL. Like this is... We're like, what, a third of the way through the season almost? Yeah. And or about. I mean, you can't really cut 16 games into three, but we're about that way through, that far through, and yeah. Alex Smith is the front runner. It's probably him or Aaron Rodgers right now, right? Like it's gotta be one of those two.
It is, and I think I mentioned this on maybe last week's show or the week before. I love watching the Chiefs play. And I don't say that frequently. I mean, I'm yeah. you know, watching football is not like my passion, you know, but this Chiefs team is a lot of fun, and people are still asking me, do I start Alex over, you know, this borderline guy this week? And I'm yeah. like, yes, you should.
You have to start Alex Smith. It's a shame though that the Chiefs are gonna get their first loss this weekend.
As you said, this will be the typical Steelers narrative where
yes.
they have a crushing defeat at home to the Jags, and then they come and they're going to win 13-9.
Yeah, it's going to be one of those games where the Steelers, you know, Ben gets his drama, right? And he's yeah. all, this time it's not injury related though. This time it's all mental because he's going to retire. He wanted to retire, and now he's worried about his kids. And there's this like family storyline and stuff, and yeah. but this time Ben is going to go in and have the mental strength to beat the only undefeated team in the NFL, and he's going to come out victorious because this is what the Steelers do in the regular season, and then they're going to lose the AFC Championship to New England.
Yeah, well, that at this point it goes without saying almost.
Right. Right.
Yeah. Yes, Roethlisberger will beat the Chiefs this week with 125 passing yards. And one touchdown at the buzzer. You know,
yes,
it'll be a 5-yard touchdown to Antonio Brown at the buzzer.
I can totally see it going down. It's just this is the like football works in this way all the time. There's always storylines that like come together where like you're like, oh, there's no way that's you bury a guy one week and then the next week. Like, I mean, this is like a different level of that. But Devontae Adams. I mean, like we talked about the hit. The Devontae Adams hit was horrendous. It was one of the worst hits that I've seen. And he comes back the next week, scores a touchdown, and then scores another touchdown close to when time was expiring to win the game for them. It's like what is going, like, this is insane. This is what happens in the NFL though.
It wouldn't shock me any which way, but I do want to mention something that's happening on Twitter real quick, if I could. And we've mentioned Evan Engram on this show as a guy mm-hmm. who's running a lot of routes, and you know, despite being a rookie tight end, he is producing. Well, he was producing until this past week when he posted a zero. So obviously,
which is so bizarre. It's so bizarre that happened. But I'm to the yeah. point actually where the Chargers are just a very tough matchup for, because Travis Kelce didn't do anything against them either.
I think that the Chargers are like a must avoid for mm-hmm. tight ends mm-hmm. At this point. By the way, I hope you like my transition from talking real football to shifting to what yeah. we had predetermined we were going to talk about.
Yeah, we went from hey, everyone's like, oh my God, we're talking real football here. Denny is talking about football. Nope, we're talking about Twitter.
So long story short, here's what's happening. Fantasy players are, you know, tilting their asses off about Evan Engram's zero, which I get it. But his sister is out here taking names, chopping off heads of fantasy players who are criticizing. I believe it's her brother. I have not actually confirmed that, but I'm just going to say.
Could it be his significant other?
Well, it's Mackenzie Engram.
Okay.
She says on her profile, she's a senior at and she plays for the Georgia's University of Georgia's women's basketball team.
Okay.
So she is destroying people who are saying, you know, mean things about Evan Engram. And she was in my mentions because someone added me on Sunday saying I must have missed Evan Engram's retirement ceremony in the middle of the game, which is an ongoing joke.
Yes, of course.
I think it's kind of funny. I didn't even see it, I guess, because my mentions are such a mess. But I'm so happy that I did not reply to that in any kind of sarcastic way, because Mackenzie Engram would have then decapitated me and held my head up for all to see. So
it's interesting though, because we don't think about and we don't talk about the people who are friends or significant others often. I mean, there's some significant others that are like crazy, but like yeah. We don't talk about that angle of things, and you have to wonder like what they feel like whenever they see other people talking junk on whoever that relationship person, whoever that is, right?
Yes.
So we're seeing that firsthand, where she's just going in, like she's going at it.
She's taking names and just really, you know, humiliating people. And you know what? We deserve that.
I don't even like. I might do the same thing if I were her.
Oh yeah. Hey, if you had a significant other or a family member of any kind who's playing in the NFL, and you see Twitter light up with all these terrible things said about them because they didn't perform for a fantasy team, I would be furious. I would lose it. I would dedicate my life to like trolling these people and dragging them across the internet. So
yeah, I think I agree. It's a very interesting scenario that's being played out here. I have to go check that out after we're done with the podcast.
Yeah, I have to say that at FF Nature Boy had a good tweet that she retweeted. It says, quote, female basketball player dunks on unsuspecting people making online comments.
That is good. Evan Engram though was a pretty big disappointment this past week, just from a fantasy standpoint. Especially, I mean, so how ridiculous is it that literally every wide receiver on the Giants hurt an ankle? Who is their like, why does their doctor not care about ankles?
Well, yeah, why have they not like pre-taped the ankles? Right. There's too much ankle violence.
There's a lot of ankle violence. I don't know. I mean, maybe the Chargers defensive backs are just really, really aggressive at the ankles.
I guess.
But literally, I mean, you had OBJ with the broken bone. I guess OBJ and Brandon Marshall. I don't know if Brandon, I'm assuming he broke something, right? Because I know he's out for the year, but at first it was like, oh, he sprained his ankle. Like, yeah, whatever. No. Like,
high. Yeah. It's something worse, yeah.
I mean, for Brandon Marshall, if you're a Brandon Marshall owner, you're almost like,
oh, you're happy.
Relieved in a way. You know, you're not happy for the injury, but you're relieved that you kind of know how to manage the Brandon Marshall situation moving forward, which is to just drop him, because having him just sitting on your roster just felt awful, right?
It's like when Jordan Reed was held out, and you knew that Vernon Davis could perform. You didn't have to go back and forth. Right. Like some of these injuries for fantasy purposes are clarifying.
Right. It allows you to at least know what's going to happen, as opposed to just like right. There's nothing worse on your fantasy roster than having a guy who's in like that purgatory world of like, is he ever going to be useful? Or and not only that, is if he's a name like Brandon Marshall, where we've seen him be useful mm-hmm. before, that makes it even worse. So I, you know, I think that from a fantasy perspective, it's nice that you can drop him. From a real life perspective, it sucks that he hurt his ankle because he's out for the year, because you don't want to see that with anyone. But my God, it's so ridiculous that all of those guys hurt their ankles, and now, dude, their wide receiving core is unreal. Ugh. Like. Roger Lewis is going to walk into like 15 targets.
Yeah. Yes. I mean, he's the wide receiver one. I heard that Plaxico Burress is trying out.
Yeah. So. Well, Santonio Holmes went to Pittsburgh today because he retired as a Steeler. And uh-huh. I heard he got a phone call on his way to Pittsburgh from New York to go sign with the Giants.
No,
he didn't.
Okay. You sold it. You sold Thanks. It well. Thank I you. Didn't.
Thank you. I showed no facial expression while I was saying that.
Yeah, and I have been off Twitter for, you know, like an hour and a half. So I'm like, what? I must have missed something, you know.
Yeah, Santonio Holmes is not coming back to football.
He's been gone for years.
As I stare at my wall of Pittsburgh and I see the newspaper of Santonio Holmes catching the game-winning touchdown in the Super Bowl.
Yeah, he didn't catch that.
God, let's move on. Week five wasn't too bad. Wasn't great. Pretty average week, I'd say, overall. Defensively, the Jets had 8 points. The Dolphins were our bold call, smart call of the week. They ended up scoring 20 points. I mean, that's what happens whenever you are facing a team like that starting Matt Castle that then turns that into the 63-year-old Brandon Whedon that they faced.
Wait, which is it's amazing that someone that old can suit up and play football. I'm not even mad about it.
Yeah, it's really an impressive feat. At quarterback, we did talk about Jared Goff as a decent enough play. He did not come through. He had 7.72 fantasy points. Not a good performance for Goff. Carson Palmer is literally continuing to pace to break the attempts record this season. And they signed Adrian Peterson, so he's going to probably continue to pace to break the pass attempt record. But Carson Palmer scored 15.6 fantasy points, and Carson Palmer now, Denny, is actually QB12 on the season. Nice. So he's, I mean, it's, he hasn't really killed you. He hasn't been, it's just been very dramatic, and he's not giving you those blow up weeks. But you know, the thing is that 2 years ago when Carson Palmer did what he did, when he was like mid QB1, you know, a fringe MVP candidate that season, he kind of did the same thing. He never had like blow up games, but he gave you a nice floor each week. And I think that's kind of what you're getting from Palmer this season.
Just that yardage floor week after week. And it's a struggle. God, watching it is a struggle, man.
It is. Oof. It is. We also had Jacoby Brissett. By the way, let me just tell a little story.
Mm-hmm.
So,
okay.
My 15 transactions column, I write it on Monday. I record the podcast on Monday because it'd be impossible to release it on Tuesday morning doing otherwise. But there are times where there's a Monday night game and I have to alter what I put in there, or I have a player that is playing on Monday night that I then will talk about for Tuesday, but I can't record that or write about that until they play on Monday, right?
Mm-hmm, right.
Sam Bradford was one of those players, because Sam Bradford is playing Green Bay this week. And to me, if Sam Bradford came out and played well, then he'd be the top streamer this week. But he didn't, as we know. Sam Bradford, I made the joke online that every time that Sam Bradford was sacked, when he got up, it was like me getting up after doing a burpee. And people were responding. People were responding, and they were like, "A burpee." I'm like, "Yeah, that's the joke. That's the actual joke, guys. That's the joke."
Yes, that is. That's funny. That's, I didn't see that because I muted you 18 months ago. But hey, you're the one who blocked me. So, but yeah, burpees are hard as hell. That's definitely me getting up after a damn burpee.
Yeah. So Sam Bradford does what he does. So this morning, you know, I had to wake up a little bit earlier just so that I could change the blurb that was going to be Sam Bradford to someone else. And I did Jacoby Brissett as the quarterback that I had in the 15 transactions column and in the late round podcast. I can't, dude, recording a podcast at sub 8 in the morning, okay? Okay? And trying to say Jacoby Brissett.
Uh-huh.
That, I'm not kidding you. It took me a half hour just to say Jacoby Brissett.
Really?
Because you're it's so hard when you haven't talked to a single human being all morning, instead of saying goodbye to your lovely wife. It's so hard to say Jacoby Brissett at 8 in the morning.
Is it because you had morning voice?
It was just, it was like the B in Jacoby to the B in Brissett.
Uh-huh.
It doesn't like roll off your tongue very easily. Right. And then it got to the point where I was overthinking it. So I was like Brissett ended up having like a P sound in it. It was like Jacoby Brissett. Like it just became a name, and then it just turned into like some it was like Scott at the end of it. Like I was just saying random names by the end of it because it didn't make, I couldn't say his name.
I think you should just go with Colts QB.
Yeah, right. That really would have been a lot easier, but it took me forever. It was like the quickest, I mean, I'm going to talk about Brissett here in a second. It was like the quickest, like 20 seconds of the podcast, and took me like a half hour to record. So look, guys, if you're podcasting or if you're recording something that early, either wake up even earlier and get a lot of caffeine in you, or and talk a lot, or just don't do it.
Yeah, dude, I used to, so when I was a reporter at a local paper, I used to have to do early morning interviews with like local government people, because they could only talk before the workday. So
right.
I would have to talk to them at 7 in the morning, 7:30, whatever. So I would get up at like 6:30, and I would just, and this sounds crazy because it is a little crazy, I would just start talking. I didn't want to be embarrassed by my morning voice, which is really bad. It's really grovelly and low.
And
I didn't want to sound like I just rolled out of bed and just called them and said, you know, hello, school board, you know, school board official,
right.
You know, and sounded like, you know, like a teenage boy rolling out of bed asking for an interview. So I would just talk. And sometimes I would sing to myself in my room to get my voice ready. Which, you know, my parents would then call the cops.
So. What did you sing? That's what the world wants to know right now. Like smooth R&B.
Oh yeah, that's definitely. I know a lot of smooth R&B. Yes, I would often put on Boy Young Boy. And just go with that, you know, because of Matt Harmon's just delightful voice.
Yeah, my favorite, my new favorite song from Boy Young Boy is called My Dog Charlie.
Yeah,
it's a really, really good tune. Really good tune.
Right. I prefer My Dog Charlie, and then in quotations, Part Two.
Okay.
Is at the end of the album. You have to listen past the last track.
I don't know if I've gotten there yet. Okay.
It's like 69 minutes in, and then the track starts.
Gotcha. That seems pretty nice.
Yeah.
All right. So back to the streamers. You have Jacoby Brissett, who had 17.96 points. He was a guy that we liked a lot as a realistic streamer, just given the ownership percentages of the other guys. So that was a good outing for him. Josh McCown, as a lower tiered guy, had 13.46 points. His tight end, Austin Seferian Jenkins, scored a touchdown. He had 14.9 PPR points. Good outing for him. I talked about Antonio Gates, and the process was certainly right, I think. But Hunter Henry was the one who got the touchdown. Hunter Henry, essentially, they flipped their roles in that game. They finally started using Hunter Henry more. He ran more routes, saw more snaps. That's what we should expect moving forward. But how they were utilizing Antonio Gates before that was what led me to think Antonio Gates was kind of the sneakier play of the two. But Antonio Gates had 4.3 PPR points. Jared Cook, unfortunately, with 3.5, didn't have a good outing. But then we did talk about, very quickly, we mentioned Cameron Brate. Cameron Brate had 17.8 PPR points. Cameron Brate's kind of doing work right now. With O.J. Howard primarily blocking and not being all that. I mean, he had a couple of huge, huge penalties in that Thursday night game. But
yes,
Cameron Brate, a very strong tight end option right now, given how bad that tight end position is.
Oh, can I tell you something about a story about the Thursday night game?
Yeah.
Were you done with tight ends?
Done.
Okay. So my dad and I went to the local sports bar to watch Thursday night football. And they had open mic night, and they just so happened to have some sort of high school prodigy keyboard player. Okay, a 16-year-old girl who comes, and she's like blowing people away with her keyboard playing and just beautiful singing voice while the game is playing, right? So it's a little strange. The atmosphere is a little bit off. But my dad, who doesn't hear so well, decides to stand up and scream as Doug Martin jumps into the end zone for that touchdown early on. And it's so loud that everybody in the bar / restaurant turns around and looks at the crazy old dude screaming.
Why was he screaming? Was he just like excited about the game, or was it like, is Doug Martin one of those players that your dad just like irrationally likes?
My dad has no idea who Doug Martin is.
Okay.
He's never even heard his name before Thursday night, I guarantee it.
Okay.
I think my dad had the under in that game. So I think that was an unhappy scream, but at the end of the night it was okay.
Gotcha. I love it. All right, Denny, we're on to week 6. We have two defensive streamers for folks. Why don't you talk about the first one?
Yeah, Atlanta defense, widely available, owned in only 13% of leagues right now. They are at home, 11-point favorites against the team lovingly called the Dolphins. Dolphins are bad. I mean, they're real bad.
They're
I,
awful.
Can we talk about Jay Cutler not being able to eclipse 100 yards against the Titans?
Against the Titans. It's gotten to the point where, like, okay, the first time, you know, the Jets game happens, we're like, okay, Jay Cutler really might, you know, he had a bad outing. Maybe this isn't a gig for, and then the Saints game happens. We're like, okay, screw Jay Cutler. We're done with, and then this game happens and we're like, wow, Jay Cutler is actually not in his body. Jay Cutler, his everything is not on the football field. It's just awful how bad he's playing.
Look at the yardage totals the Titans have given up in the air, and then look at that game. It's unreal. He doesn't even want to be there. I mean, I think that's pretty clear.
Yeah,
but
yeah.
Anyway, so the guy who doesn't want to be there is going to be going to face a lot of bad game script, going to be forced into a lot of you know, really unfortunate, well, fortunate for us if you have the Atlanta defense, pass first situations where the defense knows what's coming, which is what we look for in streaming defenses. So if you adjust for strength of schedule, only the Colts allow more fantasy points to opposing defenses than the Dolphins through 5 weeks. And Cutler is completing 62% of his passes at a clip of, get this, 4.8 adjusted yards per attempt. That, according to my many sources, is not good. It's not good at all. So I think we have the potential for sacks, obviously, interceptions, turnovers against this putrid Dolphins offense that can barely put points on the board. I love the Falcons defense at home.
Yeah, the Falcons are chalk this week. They're in an unbelievable spot. You can't get much better. The defense that I want to talk about real quick is Washington. You know, San Francisco really hasn't been a cake matchup for opposing defenses. If you look at fantasy points against, I think they rank like 17th. So they're pretty middle of the road. It hasn't been like, oh, they're playing San Francisco, we have to stream against them. Mm-hmm. But the defense, the defenses that they've faced, they face the Rams, who have kind of struggled this year defensively, and they face the Colts, who have been awful. We saw last week them against the Colts. Two teams that, again, have struggled, and both still had a pair of sacks. And every single team that's faced San Francisco this year has had at least two sacks, which is good. Washington is a 10-point favorite. They're at home, even without Josh Norman. I think Josh Norman being out is certainly something that we should all think about. But even without Josh Norman, the defense should be in a positive game script at home, given that 10-point spread. I don't have many concerns. It's not only that, but with Josh Norman banged up, they're facing a team that really doesn't have strong receivers outside of Pierre Garçon to begin with. So it's not that huge of a deal. But Pierre Garçon, narrative street,
yeah,
former team. There's a lot of, I mean, Kyle Shanahan, former team too. It's going to be an interesting game. But overall, I think that it is a very good matchup for Washington this week.
I didn't think of narrative street will be VV lit, as the children say.
Yeah.
In that game,
there's a part of me that's like kind of afraid that Kyle Shanahan knows everything about Kirk Cousins, and that he'll be able, you know what I mean, that he'll be able to like really defend against him. Yeah,
I know.
We'll see. I mean, I still think Kirk Cousins is a great play this week.
I do too. The Niners are giving up so much production anyway.
Yeah.
All right, I'm gonna try to talk you into considering Kevin Hogan at Houston. Okay, now I'm gonna start with the matchup. Houston is allowing 17.5 schedule adjusted fantasy points to opposing quarterbacks, and they have plenty of injuries. Obviously, everybody knows on the defensive side of the ball, they've allowed a 70% completion rate over the past 3 weeks. And so now to Hogan, who you may not have seen play. He's kind of, I want to say Terrell Pryor-esque, in that we're really banking on the Konami code, on the rushing yardage.
Yeah. I mean, he runs a lot.
Yeah,
a lot.
He does. Like hair trigger. Like as soon as he, you know, he makes like a read or two and he's gone.
Yeah. And so, it's awesome.
Yeah, so I did some research. I have a lot of notes. I'm going to try to just get to the highlights here. But so the Browns are a 9.5-point road dog. So whatever Hogan does in this game, he'll have to do it in the face of, you know, probably terrible game script, which is not great, but that's what we have here. Let's see. Hogan, who has played parts of three games in 2017, so far this year he's attempted 38 passes. He's completed 26 of those passes for 377 yards, 3 touchdowns, and 2 interceptions. It's not horrendous.
No.
And even better, and this is what you referenced a second ago, he's rushed 5 times in that limited action for 36 yards. In his only significant action of 2016, he ran 7 times against the Bengals for 104 yards and a touchdown. So I'm not saying, you know, that you can pencil him in for 100 yards on the ground, but I am saying that he could have a subpar game through the air and still put up decent fantasy points because of that rushing.
Kevin Hogan, another fun fact. Kevin Hogan, among relevant quarterbacks, so quarterbacks that have like 25 plus attempts. I just threw relevant quarterbacks people would care about into this chart. But Kevin Hogan has thrown 38 attempts this year. 12 of them have been deep ball attempts. Okay.
Oh.
That's a rate of 31.58%, and that's the most of any quarterback in the NFL. And that lines up with DeShone Kizer and what he was doing as well, throwing the ball downfield. So really, I mean, part of that's just they're seeing such negative game scripts, they have to do that. But that's all part of the equation too. And I think the defensive line injuries with J.J. Watt out, with the pass rush just being banged up, I think that he's going to have a lot of rushing potential in this game. I like Hogan. Would I be confident in playing him over, you know, someone that has just a more traditional floor? Maybe not. But if you're looking for ceiling, I think that his ceiling is actually there.
I do too. I'm excited for him for that reason. Now, people are going to ask, am I starting Hogan over quarterback A or B or C? I mean, the answer probably is no, but
right.
But I guess if your team is like a mess and you're looking for a ceiling, I guess you could do a lot worse than
yeah,
Hogan.
Yeah, I agree. The next quarterback that I want to talk about is Jacoby Brissett, who I already talked about in that I can't say his name, but I think I said it well that time. But Jacoby Brissett is playing against the Titans. We just talked about Jay Cutler and how he didn't even throw for 100 yards against the Titans. Despite that, the Titans have still given up the third most fantasy points per game to opposing quarterbacks this season, despite the fact that Jay Cutler threw for fewer than 100 yards against them. They have number fire's fourth worst secondary when adjusted for strength of schedule. And really, if you look at who they faced, the only quarterbacks that haven't done anything against Tennessee have been Blake Bortles and Jay Cutler. You know, I'm not saying that Jacoby Brissett is even better than Blake Bortles. We don't know that for sure. But he does have the rushing component that could be helpful, for a floor. I do want to say though, with Jacoby Brissett, I would feel a lot better using him if Marcus Mariota were playing, if we knew that Marcus Mariota were playing, because otherwise we're probably going to see more of a conservative game, lower scoring game. And we want to see more of that shootout style. So, you know, if you hear reports that Marcus Mariota might not play, maybe that shies you away from using Brissett this week. But I do still think that he's a decent add off the waiver wire.
Yeah, you definitely want the Titans trying to score points.
Yes, because, like, I mean, look at last week. The Dolphins won. Jay Cutler didn't have to do much. You know, that's just kind of the game that we could see this week.
Sure. All right, well, we will keep rolling with Carson Palmer and his yardage party, which is a fun tilting party because there's lots of yards and no touchdowns for him, but
yes.
it will continue this week. Although the Bucks are a slight favorite, I think a 2.5 point favorite. The Bucks are giving up the fifth. I'm going to try that again. The Bucks are giving up the fifth most schedule adjusted fantasy production to quarterbacks. And we know the yardage floor will be there because only the Patriots are giving up more passing yards to opposing quarterbacks than the Bucks. And Palmer, like you said, is on pace to throw more passes than any human in the history of the league.
Yeah,
which is amazing because doesn't Stafford hold that?
Yeah, 727 is the attempts record.
And that was that year. I remember I had Stafford in a lot of spots that year. That was after his big year, maybe.
That was it was the year, I believe, where Calvin Johnson only scored 5 touchdowns when like he should have had like an astronaut. It was right after the big season, yeah. But it was Calvin Johnson should have had like 16 or 17 touchdowns that year. I think it was the season where he just fell down on the one all the time.
It was yes, it was, and he had 2,000 yards, and the perfect game, the perfect Stafford game was week 16 that year when he threw for 400 yards and no touchdowns.
Was that the Matt Flynn game, or was that a different year? That might have been a different year.
No, no. I'm talking about against it. It was against Atlanta. It was a Saturday night game.
Oh, yeah. I kind of remember this.
There were 400 and no touchdowns. I've never seen anything like it. But
yeah, it's crazy.
Anyway, so back to Palmer. It's a good matchup, you know, and I think that if the if the Cardinals are going to score points, they're going to do it through the air. And Palmer's still available on about 60% of waiver wires.
Yeah, I like Carson Palmer again for the floor. I want to just really quickly talk about Case Keenum. This is if Sam Bradford does not go, obviously, because you don't want to get a zero in your lineup. But, I think the matchups there, you attack Green Bay's corners. They're playing Green Bay at home. You attack Green Bay's corners, and that's how you can beat them. And they have two very good wide receivers that are going to be able to do that. But then on top of that, we've seen that Case Keenum has some sort of ceiling. I remember that Tampa Bay game when they were in Minnesota at home, like this game is. Case Keenum was QB3 that week. Mm-hmm. This is a game with a decently high 47-point over-under. I'm not like super into Case Keenum. I think he's more of a deeper play, but I could see a scenario, especially without Dalvin Cook there, you're going to see somewhat of a negative script, you know, hopefully more of a neutral one because the spread's only 3 points. But if it's high scoring enough, Case Keenum could have a decent day. So I think he's a deeper play, but not a terrible one.
Yeah. What about if Diggs sits? I know he's banged up.
If Diggs is out, there's no chance that I'm playing Case Keenum. And even if he's like banged up and you see reports, I don't think it's really worth it. The other guys too that you could stream this week, you know, there's no need to really like dig in, but Brian Hoyer is another one who's going up against that Josh Norman-less secondary in Washington. I don't think he's a terrible play. And Josh McCown, both of these quarterbacks are going to see major, major negative game scripts, which is not exactly what we're looking for. But at the same time, they're playing against defenses that are beatable in those negative game scripts. So I'm not against using either of those guys. I think that you could play either of them over Case Keenum. It just depends on how you personally feel about it.
Gotcha. Tight ends.
Tight ends.
Let's do the tight ends. That's didn't sound.
Let's perfect, do the tight ends.
Let's. I'm just gonna go ahead and start with Austin Seferian Jenkins and congratulations to the ASJ truthers who can finally exit the Arby's dumpster.
Yes.
I'm gonna hold down the fort in this dumpster until you guys get back because you will be back. I promise. But not this week. Not this week. Because the Jets are playing the Patriots, who are allowing the fourth most receptions to tight ends and giving up they've given up a tight end touchdown in four of their five games so far this season. So the production of tight ends against the Patriots defense is not based on like one or maybe two blow up performances. It's pretty evenly dispersed across the schedule. Even Ed Dixon, who I know went ham this week, he caught three passes for 62 yards against the Patriots. Tight ends have averaged 66 yards per game against New England, and ASJ is getting a pretty decent target share so far in through the three games that he's played for the Jets this season. He's had 6 targets, 4 targets, and 8 targets.
Yeah,
I don't think that I don't think that his prospects this week rely on the Jets having to throw a lot or getting down by a lot. You know, like it doesn't hinge on that. I just think it's just a good matchup for a guy who is very much a part of a passing attack, not a good one, but a passing attack.
I think that ASJ is a low end tight end one from here on out. I mean, that's just kind of how the tight end landscape is. I think that he's a pretty good play. Potentially week in and week out. It's not something that you want to feel super confident about because he's playing for the Jets, but even still, I don't think he's a bad play moving forward. A guy that I'm kind of mad that we didn't talk about last week because the peripheral numbers were there is George Kittle. Yeah. He did go ham. You know, before this past week, he was averaging 3.5 targets per game. Obviously, that changed. He had 9 targets there in week 5. He had 7 catches, 83 yards, and a touchdown. But it was also a game where you can exploit tight ends against the Colts. I mean, it was a good matchup for him. But the peripherals were there. The context clues were there. He's now played 73% of San Francisco's snaps. It's a top 15 number. four tight ends. And according to Pro Football Focus, he's seen plenty of routes. He actually ranks eighth in tight end routes run this season. So I think that Kittle has some interesting upside from here on out, but definitely this week against Washington, I think Kittle would actually be a little bit more interesting if Josh Norman were playing, because a lot of teams are targeting the middle of the field against Washington, probably partially because of the corner play. But even still, Washington has allowed a top 11 tight end performance in every single game that they've played this season. And Washington, this is according to Rich Rebar, who tweets this out every week, where he shows where opposing teams are targeting players, or if they're targeting wide receivers, tight ends, and running backs. Teams have been targeting opponent wide receivers against Washington, or opponents have been targeting their wide receivers against Washington at a sub 50% rate, which is one of the lowest marks in the league. And that's led to a lot of nice volume to opposing tight ends, which is why I think that that combined with the probable negative game script for Washington makes George Kittle an actually pretty interesting streaming option for the second week in a row.
I'm very excited actually about Kittle. Not, I mean, this week is shaping up great for him, but going forward, I didn't know until we talked yesterday about his route running. I didn't know he was that involved in running freaking routes. I mean, yeah. I just assumed that he was, in and out of the lineup or whatever, but wow, that's good news. Zach Miller is a thing. He is a player in the NFL. He is a tight end. He is the tight end for the Bears. The Bears are at Baltimore. So in Trubisky's first game, as starter, Trubgotsky. It's so hard to say, but but I want it to be a thing. I want it to catch on, so I'm just gonna keep saying it.
I love the people that say Trubinsky.
I actually saw it spelled like that last night.
Yeah, me too.
Trubgotsky. It's just terrible. I don't know if it's gonna catch. But he targeted Miller seven times against the Vikings on that thrilling Monday night game. Miller caught three of those seven targets for 39 yards and a touchdown. Baltimore is a pretty good matchup, giving up 16 schedule adjusted fantasy points to opposing tight ends. That has a lot to do with Mercedes Lewis's insane nuclear performance against the Ravens in London. But they still shape up as a team that is being attacked via the tight end. Chicago is a 7-point underdog in this game on the road at Baltimore. So I think that Miller could be a beneficiary of that bad game script, in the second half of the game. But I don't hate him. I like ASJ more. I like Kittle more than both of those guys.
I think what's interesting and what you guys are going to consistently hear from us is that we're targeting these defenses that have two good corners. Because what it does is it forces quarterbacks to go to the middle of the field towards their tight ends. That's why Denver has always been, despite them having such a good defense, Denver has struggled against tight ends in terms of cumulative yardage and points against because they've had good cornerback play. And we're seeing that, I think Jacksonville is another defense where week in and week out, you can look sort of to the tight end that's facing them, which is why we talked about, did we talk about Jesse James last week? I don't even know if we talked about Jesse James.
We did. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I didn't have him on the sheet, so I might have just missed him. But regardless, that's why those players are targeted. Those tight ends are targeted against those defenses. So that's something to keep in mind. And Baltimore does have two corners that are playing at a decent rate right now. So that's why Zach Miller is pretty intriguing, especially in a negative game script. So to recap, George Kittle, ASJ, Zach Miller. Case Keenum in a deeper league, Brian Hoyer in a deeper league, Josh McCown in a deeper league, Jacoby Brissett, as long as Mariota plays, Kevin Hogan and Carson Palmer, and then the Atlanta D and the Washington D. All right, Denny, let's get to these questions. This first one is from at Bethany L. Peters. Help a new listener. When exactly are you supposed to eat Arby's? A, all the time. B, when you're tilting, or C, when the pants are off.
I not all the time.
Definitely not all the time. That I mean, it's Arby's is there for the tilt.
Yes. And by the way, Bethany, you you've been asking a lot of great questions on Twitter, I have to say. So thank you. Yes. And thank you for contributing to our Patreon. That was very nice.
Bethany is the GOAT. She's always very enthusiastic and positive in the Facebook lives, and it's a really nice interaction to have whenever you're doing those things.
The rest of you haters and losers can learn something from Bethany.
I agree. I totally agree with that.
Wait a second, just to answer her question. You only eat Arby's once something has been truly, truly awful happened to you in fantasy or anything in life. But, you know, if you, say like me, lost to Jerick McKinnon on Monday night when you had Stefan Diggs going and a 10-point lead, then you immediately go to Arby's and start chowing down.
Yeah, that's a pretty rough loss. By the way, Tom Whalen, friend of the pod, he's putting together the glossary that someone had asked about. So hopefully that can be. I haven't even commented back to Tom about this, but it looks good so far. It was hilarious.
Yeah.
This next one at Turtle Fantasy. Can you stop the 69 bit? It's juvenile and getting really old.
My promise to this person and the people is that I will never stop the 69 bit.
I'd say that like 69% of me wants it to keep going.
Yeah. I mean, there is, I would say that 6.9% of the people who listen want us to stop. And,
right. And
you know what? Close to 7%. That's a chunk of the people, but they'll still tune in and I will never, ever stop. If I lived to 69 years old, I will never stop this bit.
Nice, 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 nice.
Nice, 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 nice.
Yeah. Next one at Fantasy Q 1234. How do you rank these options moving forward? Amari, Martavis, Demarius, the bottom of the ocean, Arby's famous horsey sauce. How would you rank these though? Amari, Martavis, and Demarius. Demarius to me is easily the top there.
That's a sad AF group of receivers.
Dude, Demarius isn't really, Demarius just hasn't scored. That's the only, I mean, that's really the only thing that's good. Like Amari Cooper is a wide receiver like 17 right now in fantasy. I won't rant about Amari Cooper. I did that on my other podcast, the Late Round Podcast. But I don't think that you can put, I'd probably put Amari Cooper though above Martavis Bryant right now. Because Martavis Bryant's been pretty much just as bad.
Oh, makes me sad to say. I mean, everybody in that Steelers offense is hardly usable except for Antonio and Le'Veon.
Yeah, I mean, it's just how it is. Next one, at Nathan C. McGee. Is there ever a time to sell your studs? If my team is reeling and I can get two good pieces for Le'Veon Bell, do I pull the trigger?
Well, I mean, the team composition matters a lot. You know, if you're really stacked at a position, running back or wide receiver, say you have a lot of wide receivers, you have an embarrassment of wide receiver riches, so much so that you can't even play them in a given week, then you package that up and cash it in for a top running back. See if the owner will go for that.
I mean, you should always, my go-to and for answers like this is that you should always be open to trades. Like, just because you have a certain player doesn't mean he's untradeable. Like, listen to anything. You could be, you know, every single player has some sort of realistic value that you can get out of that player. So, yeah, here's some trade offers. It's fine. Next one, at Diego24FPS. This is a very fitting question for this time. What do I do if I find floating JJ face staring back at me from the darkness of my house that my wife left me alone in? It's back to JJ floating face right now.
Yeah, no, he's actually floating. It's
but my teeth look really white when this happens.
Well, I mean, you're a handsome guy even when you're a floating head.
Thanks, man.
I think that goes without saying. But Diego, if you see JJ floating face in your house, it means that you have ingested acid, and that you need to go lay down. And just let it run its course, and you will be okay. You are a living organism on this earth, and you are very safe.
I thought you were gonna actually say like something like you saying acid there. I was prepared for something like way way over the top, but you gave like a very real answer to that specific scenario. Like that's the one thing to see a floating JJ face. Next one, at Cornvelius, that's not right, underscore Dan. With Watt out, is the Texans defense still a top streamer this week?
Yeah.
Yes. And he said rest of season. Still a top stream this week, comma, rest of season.
No, well, not, I mean,
not,
I don't,
not, rest, of not rest of season. And then, but then he says better streamer than the Falcons. Would you rather play the Falcons or the Texans this week?
Oh gosh. If Kaiser were starting, I would say Houston, no doubt.
Yeah. I might say the Falcons.
I think I lean Atlanta.
Okay. Next one, at Nick DeStef 7. Thoughts on being in a 12-team league, one quarterback start league, trying to stream quarterbacks, but run into the problem that some teams have 2, 3, and yes, even 4 quarterbacks.
Man, it's just stupid.
It's look, but guys, this is a thing that we talk about every year that we have. You have to know your league before, you know, it's like the people who say, who were like, we streamed this and this is our streaming quarterback for the year. And not in my league. Not in my league. Can you? Okay, dude, I get it. I get it. Like, we are talking to more than 18 people when we're doing this podcast and writing content. Like,
yeah. Kevin Hogan, he's been owned in my league since week 2.
Yeah, right. That's people are sitting there listening to this and they're like, oh, that happens. That kind of stuff happens in our mentions all the time. I'm not even kidding. Like, there are people who say this to us. It's like, what are you getting out of this? What is the point in saying this?
Oh, that's cute. Brandon Whedon, he was taken in August.
Yeah, right. Brandon Whedon was drafted in my league.
Right. 9th round. Hello.
It's so absurd. Next one is at Ad Charl. So I have this other monitor that I use and I have the questions open there. And so I'm reading it out of like my peripherals basically so that I'm not talking way over here with my mic. But, so this is at Ad Charl. Is it worth hanging on to Rawls at this point? I'd hang out with Thomas Rawls though too.
Yeah, it might not be bad.
Or should I take a flyer on someone like Elijah McGuire or Marlon Mack?
Get Mack.
I would actually, it depends. I like Elijah McGuire for this week because he might be the only reasonable running back in that backfield. But I think Marlon Mack has more long-term upside in general in that offense.
Okay. But Rawls, no, man, no. Rawls is not usable on any level.
Right now, no. I mean, he could end up, who knows, he could end up taking over the backfield there, but like, look, the Seahawks offense won't be good until November 1st. It's just what happens with the Seahawks every single year. They're not good until that time. Would I hold on to Thomas Rawls? Depends how big the league is. I would take Elijah McGuire or Marlon Mack over him, though, right now.
We must wait for the harvest moon for the Seahawks to peak. I don't know. I just
at somewhat feral. Rank these restaurants with commentary. This is good.
Mm-hmm.
Applebee's,
mm-hmm.
Chili's, Ruby Tuesday.
So Ruby Tuesday is like a fake Fridays, right?
Yeah. Okay. So like is it a specific area geographically where Ruby Tuesdays are? Because I've been to one before, but there was one really close to the first apartment that I owned when I lived in Cincinnati. But, I don't, there are none around where I'm at. Not that I would ever like choose to go to one, but they're not down here from what I know.
They're all around the DC, Maryland, Virginia area. When we were in high school, there was a TGI Fridays and a Ruby Tuesdays, like right across the street. And we would just randomly choose to go to one or the other because it didn't matter.
Yeah, it's like the Spider-Man meme, right? Where he's looking at himself.
Yeah.
That's the Ruby Tuesday and TGI Fridays looking at each other. So how would you rank? So, to me, of the three, Chili's would be the best.
It's possible that I've never eaten at Chili's.
Okay, I mean, I don't go to any of these places. I don't think I've been to one of these establishments in probably like 3 or 4 years. But I remember that they had chips and salsa. Chili's does.
Well, I as an East Coast elitist, I would never go to any of these places. I'm just joking.
Yeah, of
course. I would eat. I may have gone to Chili's, eaten something, gotten blackout diarrhea, and then and then forgot about it.
So. Blackout diarrhea. I want to name the podcast that, but I don't think that we can name a podcast week six streaming and blackout diarrhea. That would not be good.
I just want everyone to know this is a very professional podcast.
Very professional. You should have heard they should have heard the conversation we had prior to this podcast about going. But let's just have the conversation.
Okay. No, okay. All
right.
Do you want
to have the conversation? Okay. Are we ready to do this?
I'm
Denny
ready.
And I were discussing, okay, how if you're a regular number twoer, right, you go to the same time every day or around the same time. We both are morning. We established that, yeah. Right?
Yeah, morning pooper. A post for me, it's post coffee.
Sure.
Yeah.
Sure. So when it is 5:30 in the evening, and all of a sudden you have the urge. It's a mind blowing experience in the worst way.
Oh, it is. It's concerning. It's concerning because you're like, oh God, is my body like revolting? Why is this happening?
Right, right. So that's what Denny and I talk about before we start recording this podcast is about our schedules. That's probably all we should talk about on this topic, though.
Yeah, I think that we've covered this sufficiently. We are two old men.
Yes, we are. Next one, at B Nye Anak, Ravens or Live the Stream? So the Ravens are playing Chicago. That's a great play. The way I approach this is like, if you own the Ravens, like don't go out and like spend a waiver pick on the Falcons, or don't go and spend FOB on the Falcons. To me, it just doesn't, you know, just mm-hmm. hold the Ravens, right?
Yeah. Yeah. I agree.
Next one, at that Federici, from an efficiency standpoint, was Aaron Jones' performance as great as it looked?
I
had the chart of success rate versus rushing net expected points per rush. So both of those are number fire metrics based on our expected points model, basically looking at efficiency. So just like yards per carry, rushing net expected points per rush can be skewed via big runs and stuff like that and fumbles and whatnot. But if you combine that with success rate, which is the percentage of positive runs, expected points runs a player has, what you're doing is saying, okay, even though this was a huge run, it was just counted as a success. You know, so a first and 10, a running back getting 11 yards versus 55 yards, it counts the same as a success. So Aaron Jones, so basically you want high success rate and high efficiency, and how you determine that a player is going to regress is when they have high efficiency and low success rates. So that's what we got out of Todd Gurley two seasons ago, which is why he was such a regression candidate going into last year. But regardless, Aaron Jones is a freak of nature. He has like a 60% success rate so far, which is the average for a running back is usually around 40% because rushing is not very efficient. And he's out of control efficient. It's going to regress because no one can keep that up. But Aaron Jones, I can't even explain how excited I am about Aaron Jones because he's someone that I've been talking about since the draft and since he really popped in my prospect model. And I'm glad that that's translating into on-field production.
So his existence balances Paul Perkins' existence.
It actually does. Yes. In that chart specifically, yeah. It's like they're the two anchors, and Paul Perkins in the worst direction possible. next one, at Sad Melander. If Jay Cutler agreed to be your co-host, but you had to fire Denny, would you do it? Yes.
Yeah.
I mean, Denny, you'd be okay with that, right?
I mean, I would quit. I mean, but first of all, I was fired 18 months ago. I continue to do the podcast anyway, just out of pure stubbornness. But yeah, I mean, yeah, you got to go with Cuddy if he wants to do this podcast for whatever reason.
Yeah, I mean, imagine how good he would be at like managing our Twitter account and the Patreon account and imagine the quarterback streaming selections that he would pick. I mean, he would do? He'd be like Tom Brady. And we're like, well, Jay, you can't use Tom Brady. He's not a don't care.
Don't
Tom
care. Brady. Yeah. Don't care. Yeah. And then he would light up a.
Yeah. He would just say Tom Brady and just sit back and just start smoking.
Right. He would do like a cartoon and smoke six cigarettes at a time.
Yes. Next one, at Nick A. Tursky. Does Jacksonville's secondary scare you enough after that 5-pick performance to sit Goff this week and live the stream? Yes, you're sitting Jared Goff this week.
Oh, definitely.
You're not even getting close to playing quarterbacks, like average to below average quarterbacks against that secondary.
So you get this, when you adjust for schedule, Jacksonville's giving up 6.5 fantasy points to quarterbacks right
now. That's unreal. That's unbelievable. Next question is at Franz Coffee Cake. Could be Franz, too. Mm-hmm. Who has the better chance of finishing the season out, Adrian Peterson or Ben McAdoo?
I guess AP.
I think it's AP. I think that they have to fire McAdoo, right?
He's got to go. He's got to go.
Right. He's awful. Next one, at Eric Belair. How do you feel about waiver wire pickups that don't help your team but intentionally hurt your opponent for the week?
You should absolutely do that.
Yeah, all part of the game. All part of the game.
I see this a lot on the Living the Stream Facebook page, which is a very nice and fun place online. People say, well, you know, is this Bush League? If I pick up this guy to block my opponent? No, it is part of the game.
Yeah, it's game theory.
This is a game. And when playing the game, you try to, A, maximize your chances of winning and minimize your opponent's chances of winning. So do it.
Exactly. Next one, at Fitz_843. Adrian Peterson to the Cardinals, a good thing? Or should I just add more gasoline to my flaming lineups asking for a friend?
Yeah, get the gasoline.
Yeah, I mean, look, guys, I don't understand why people are excited for Adrian Peterson going from playing like absolute trash, right? Like, he was just abysmal in New Orleans. And now he's going to a worse situation behind an offensive line that's playing like garbage, although they have some pieces coming back. I don't know why you would get it. Adrian Peterson is just replacing Chris Johnson's role. I mean, honestly, the Cardinals making this deal and doing this trade doesn't make any sense because you're replacing a bad player with a bad player. Like, what does it do? And it's a player that's not an impact, that plays a non-impactful position in football. So what is the point of this? Put butts in the seats?
Yeah. And then, you know, the requirement for old running backs to retire a Cardinal.
Yeah, that's true. That's a very good point. I mean, look, Adrian Peterson, who knows? It's Adrian Peterson. But I'm not expecting much. I could be wrong. This is a game of probability, but I don't foresee him being anything good.
Well, the Cardinals, it's not like the Cardinals are a good team with a lot of good game script that are going to be able to bleed the clock. That's not going to happen. They get down by a lot every week.
And Andre Ellington catches 15 balls.
Yeah, they're right. So unless you think that Adrian Peterson at the age of 44 years old is going to transform into this outstanding pass-catching running back, then no, he's not going to be effective and he's not going to be usable for fantasy. No way.
Yeah. Next one is at Little Denden 13. Denden Carter. Considering leaving my current job to follow a passion that would result in me working from home, got any advice for a work from home life? We both work from home.
Yeah, I would say you should shower every fourth day.
You need to get in a routine. Realistically, being in a routine working from home is unbelievably important.
It is. You will slowly kind of lose your grip on like sanity if you don't establish some sort of routine. It doesn't, you know, for me, my routine is not super strict. But yeah, I mean, you need to still pretend like you're part of the world, even though you're sort of not anymore.
Like, get out, try to get out and get lunch somewhere or something like that. That's always, or grab lunch and just to get out and breathe air is important.
Right. You're still a human who needs to interact and mingle with other humans, even if only, you know, occasionally. And that's something I know people who work at home who don't see other people for days and days and days at a time.
It's crazy. It's crazy. I could never do that. Next one, at Alt FF Player. I actually have an opinion about this. What are your thoughts on stacking quarterbacks with kickers?
I don't like it at all.
Same. Yes. And you have to think about how you're capping upside and how you're limiting that upside. Because if you think about this intuitively, if you have a quarterback and a kicker on the same team, what you want from kickers is field goal attempts. I mean, sure, extra points are fine, but you want field goal attempts. And if there's a field goal attempt happening, that means that team is not kicking is not scoring a touchdown. So that limits the upside of that particular quarterback because you know that teams are not going to score on every single drive.
Yeah. Stack your kickers with defenses, you know, this week, Jacksonville and Jason Myers are a good stack. I mean, if you really want to like stack a position, whatever, but not quarterback and kicker.
Yeah. This next one is from at Jetney. Would you guys be open to doing a segment where you name guys who have been, quote, promoted to weekly starters and vice versa? So Denny and I talked about this before the show, and I had this kind of like epiphany of a way of thinking about this. So with quarterback streamers, you are looking for quarterbacks who have favorable matchups. For every week starters, for most quarterbacks, other than like Tom Brady and Drew Brees probably and Aaron Rodgers, for these other quarterbacks, this includes like a Deshaun Watson. Deshaun Watson's a great example. Alex Smith, both of them have been, quote, promoted to every week starters. But when we look at every week starters, you're looking for these quarterbacks and when they have bad matchups. So it's literally right. The opposite of how you would approach a quarterback streamer, because I don't want to say this guy's an every, when we say this guy's an every week starter, we don't mean throw him out there when Alex Smith is playing Denver. That's not what we mean. If they have a middle of the road matchup, like, Deshaun Watson has a great matchup against Cleveland this week. Alex Smith has a pretty good matchup against Pittsburgh, so it's tough to... But Alex Smith last week on paper, maybe not a hugely amazing matchup against Houston, even though their secondary hasn't been playing well and has been banged up. But, like, that's a good example of, like, oh, should I just stream instead of using Alex Smith because it's a middle-of-the-road matchup? No, you're using Alex Smith, but you're not going to use Alex Smith against Denver.
That little bit of wisdom from JJ before the show saying that the every week starter question is really just the opposite of how we approach streaming blew my mind a little bit. And I have to say that you're like a wise old young man, like a little Yoda in the dark floating there right now in front of me. You're just floating around speaking in these Yoda like riddles.
If I backed my computer chair up right now, I would disappear off the screen. That's where we're at right now. It's not even that like, it's not even like dark outside yet. It's just very strange in this particular room.
It's dark outside. I don't know what to tell you. It's dark. It's dark.
There's some light out there. This last question though is the same that Federici, is Deshaun Watson's middle name regression. So I just wanted to leave that in here because I do think that it's time for us to just say, if you own Deshaun Watson, do what we just said and just play him until he faces a really, really tough matchup. But I mean, this week, yes, there is regression coming. He has an unsustainable rate of throwing touchdowns right now. It's absolutely absurd. But he has a nice floor with his rushing. There was a comp that I can't remember who said it, but it's basically, he said, I can't remember who said it on Twitter, but it was Deshaun Watson is Russell Wilson's athletic ability with Brett Favre's mentality.
Wow.
And it's like, wow, that's kind of that. I mean, obviously we can't say that Deshaun Watson is the combination of those two players just yet, but the way he does things in fantasy football, that's a great way of thinking of it, is that he degaffs, and it's amazing because he has good weapons. So he degaffs, but he also has the rushing ability and the athleticism, and that's why he's such a good fantasy asset.
Yeah, I'm excited. I don't know. I mean, his rushing potential and like every week and the way he does it, like, you know, he's pretty quick to leave the pocket and I love that. Like last week he picked up like 20 yards on third down just like that. Like it was nothing. I find it very impressive and great for fantasy. I'm very pumped up. I don't know if he has a matchup this season where you would bench him.
Yeah, I haven't looked in depth enough, but I've just looked in the upcoming one and it's pretty favorable, and he gets Cleveland this week. He's going to be awesome this week. Yeah. So that'll do it for the questions though, guys. Denny, do you have something to say?
Yeah, I do. sorry. I thought you were going to say, tell them where you can find it. Okay. kickers. The people want kickers. I will give you kickers. I'm not going to go person by person and give 25 reasons to play each one. Some guys who are available on many waiver wires, and I'm really sorry. I know with kickers, it's weird. With kickers, there are a lot of not in my league. So I'm just going to give you four. McManus / McGotis from Denver, Will Lutz, Jason Myers, and Dustin Hopkins. Basically, if you're struggling to find a kicker, really focus on a kicker whose team is favored / at home, and not likely to be, you know, devastated by a bad game script. So that, you know, eliminates a lot of the available kickers. So Hopkins, Myers, Lutz, McManus.
Sweet. Denny, where can they find you also?
Now we'll do that part. At CDCarter13 for my great, great Twitter account with very good tweets.
It's great. It's one of the best Twitter accounts out there.
It is.
The one that I blocked 16 years ago.
Right, right. In 2012, I know.
You can follow me on Twitter at LateRoundQB, all my work over on numberfire.com, and my podcast, the other one that I do, the Late Round Podcast, is also available anywhere you can find podcasts. Denny, we have another tilt montage for the lovely listeners, so I'll throw that in there. Otherwise, guys, enjoy week 6, and we'll talk to you next week.
Well, TS folks, it's 1:39 p.m. In the Eastern time zone, the only real, legitimate time zone in the universe. And I just logged on to Twitter to find out that Charles C. Clay VI has been injured. So he's down and not likely to return. And so my Twitter account will come down, and I will run into traffic in just a few minutes here. So it was good knowing you. It was good knowing all of you. Well, at least like 20% of you. And please tell my wife's attorney that it's over for me. It's 1:52 p.m. Eastern time, and I just experienced the obviously anticipated tilt of hearing the announcer scream about Brown for Arizona scoring a touchdown. Of course, it's John Brown, not Jerron Brown, the best Brown on the Cardinals. And I played Jerron over John in my Apex Raiders League. So I have entered a state of armpit sweating tilt that I may never recover from. I don't really have the words to explain how excited I was for a moment when I thought that I made the right choice with Brown versus Brown. It turns out I don't know much. I'm tilting.
Is Eli Manning even in the NFL anymore? Because his fantasy score would indicate that he is not. I am tilting.
If there are really alternate realities, like there may or may not be in Twin Peaks, I hope that one of the alternate Dennys didn't play Eli Manning everywhere in week 5, 2017 season. I'm basically Dale Cooper at the end saying, "What year is this?" and then throwing up all over my shoes. So, alternate universe Denny, I hope you're happier than I am. And I just want to preempt the haters and losers who are going to cry about, "Spoiler alert, I haven't watched the new Peaks." First of all, stop talking like that. You sound like a West Coaster. And secondly, I didn't give away anything, okay? I didn't spoil anything. So, haters and losers, I will not have that nonsense this week. It's 3:01 p.m. Eastern time, and I have to say that I'm really enjoying the post-wanting-to-play-football Ben Roethlisberger being terrible at football. It's really heartening because he's horrendous on every level. And I will enjoy the rest of this year as he kind of flails about and sucks. So that's giving me life right now, even though everything else is bad. That's helping me not tilt quite as much, the fact that Ben Roethlisberger sucks.
8:03 p.m. Eastern time, and I'm taking a nature walk. I am in nature. I am in you. And I'm sorry, this is a family podcast, but I'm trying to walk off the tilt. Been tilting pretty constantly for about 7 straight hours. There's only so much the human mind, the human spirit can endure until total psychological and emotional breakdown. So I'm out here trying to walk it off. And you know what? Out here, it's different. Out here, you know, Mason Crosby is not a total disaster of a human being. Out here, Aldrich Rosas, the Giants kicker, doesn't have 2 fantasy points like he does on my computer. He has 17 fantasy points out here. How about that? You know, going full Vinatieri. And out here, Dez Bryant is valued appropriately as a borderline wide receiver 3 who cannot succeed almost in any setting, situation. Including today in a dream matchup against the Packers in which his quarterback went berserk and he was barely involved. So I'm not tilting about Dez at all, but out here in nature, out here in the good place, Dez Bryant has 180 yards and 2 touchdowns on a dozen receptions. So I like it out here in nature more than I like it in my, you know, tiltscape of a home where no one will survive. And by no one, I just mean me. I am tilting.
Living the stream. We hope you enjoyed the internet podcast. Don't forget to subscribe on iTunes now. It won't take long, it's fast. For more fantasy football info,